Welcome back to another episode of Bless the She That Believe. We're in season 3, episode 48. And this is entitled Everything Made New. And Everything Made New. This is the last podcast episode for 2024. Wow. Wow. Last podcast episode for 2024, so let's get into it. But before we get into it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for this day. Thank you, Father God, for everything you've done for us this year, Father God. Even all the way up until 11:59 p.m., Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you have done, Father. But Lord, I just thank you right now that we don't just rest in what you've done. But Father God, we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives in this upcoming year. Father God, let us let go of past hurts, past traumas, past tragedies, Father God. Not letting go like just pretending they didn't exist, but acknowledging those things happened. But moving forward, knowing that you have more in store for us, that the hurt is just temporary, Father God. So, Father, I just thank you right now for each and every ear that listens. I pray right now that you open their hearts, Father God, to receive your word. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you just take over, that you let your word go forth, Father God. Hide your servant behind the cross, Father God, so they may not even hear my voice. They only hear your voice. Your Holy Spirit, Father God, speak to their heart. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. So I just want to give a shout out to my dad. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Poppy. He's in Puerto Rico with the rest of the family visiting grandma and Tio and TT, Nareda and Edie. So I just want to give a shout out to everybody in Puerto Rico right now. So hey y'all, happy birthday, Poppy. This is Sunday morning. I am doing this. Like I said, I get up on Sundays. I do my best to get up on Sundays to record before church. Y'all, I've been up since like 2 something. I have been rolling around in my bed. Nothing, no spot in my bed was comfortable, which is hard to believe. And I have been on break for like a week because we're on our holiday break right now. And I hadn't had any problems sleeping, but I couldn't sleep today. I was like, okay. My alarm went off. I was like, it's 5:15 already? So, I'm up, okay? I'm wide awake. There was something I was going to say, and I can't even remember what I was going to say. It was something. Anyway, I guess we'll just get right into this. So, the core verse that I want to talk about is Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19. And this may be a familiar scripture to you if you read your Bible and things like that on a regular, you go to church and stuff. So, this may be a familiar scripture to you. If you've never heard it, then you're hearing it now. Verse 18, King James Version says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Y'all, like, I'm telling you, Isaiah chapters, 43 to 45 or 46 will have you on your face. Like, you might as well just start it. 41. You can start at 40 if you want to. You can start at 40 and go to 45, 46. Like, I mean, when I tell you Isaiah, and it's crazy because this is not even where I wanted to go. But what's crazy is that Isaiah, I believe he's the prophet that, let me see. I'm going to come back to 43 in a minute, but Isaiah, I think he was the one that was like, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Like, I don't even need to be doing this. Like, because he it was something with Isaiah, and I can't remember what his background. That's not even where I'm going. Anyway, it was something about his background, but he basically was like, I don't even need to be doing this because I know what I've done. Because he worked, like, he was right up under the king. You know what I'm saying? So he was just kind of like, this is totally not what I need to be doing. Like, I am not a man of God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was, he knew he was imperfect, but every verse in those chapters, I'm not even going to get into like all the other chapters, but every verse in those specific chapters, like when I tell you it's drenched in the anointing, I remember when I tried to read, I said, I can't even read you. It's some books of the Bible you can kind of just like read through. Like, it's like you're just reading. And you have to be careful with that, of course, because it's the Bible. It's God's holy word and it's alive. You don't want to just read through. You can't read through Isaiah. Like, Psalms, the book of Psalms, Isaiah, and it was another book that had me in a chokehold. I know the book of Psalms and Isaiah. I'm on my face. I stay on one verse for like a week because it's just drenched. It's like, it's soaked. It's so, oh my gosh. Anyway, I read verses 18 through 19 in the King James. I want to read it in the New Living Translation because the New Living Translation is like a slap in the face. So verse 18, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. It says, forget all of that. Forget everything that has happened up until this point. Forget about it. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, so just this is what I believe the context is saying. You can remember, but don't dwell there. A lot of times, because we're human beings, we're going to remember stuff. Like, we can't, God is the only one who doesn't forgive, who doesn't remember our sin. When he says he casts it into the sea of forgiveness, like, it's gone. When you repent of your sin and you turn away from it, God does not remember your sin anymore. We're the ones who keep bringing it up because that's in our human nature. We remember things. We remember the good, the bad, the ugly. We remember everything. And although I will say there are some things that our body will try to forget and try to hide, but even our body can't forget those things because it'll start acting out. So you may have gone through trauma like I did, and like I literally can't remember some things, but my body remembers. And it starts acting out. So therefore, that's why we have therapy to go and have those sessions to unlock what was forgotten in the mind. Because your body does that to protect itself. Isn't that crazy? So even though your mind won't remember, your body still will remember. So it's still there. Like, our bodies remember stuff. It holds information. And that's why you could stay away from sin for like 30, 40 years. And then one day something triggers, you jump right back in, like without a beat skip. Why is that? Because our body never forgets that. It remembers. But God does not remember. He forgets it. When we give it to him, he forgets it. So, said all that to say, we're at the end of the year. Now, what I usually do at the end of the year, because I will literally forget. I did say I was going to get a jar. Starting for 2025, I was going to get a jar. And I was going to write down every time God showed up for me. And I'm going to put it in the jar. So that way when I get to the end of the year, I can open every piece of paper up and read what God did for me. And remember and just reflect on that and give him praise. Because a lot of times we'll forget. We forget that. the most, like, things that seem, like, very minute to us, we'll forget those things. And it's like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to remember, and I do my best to write things down in my journal, but sometimes life gets busy and I don't get a chance to write for a couple of days, and then I'm trying to remember what happened and I can't remember. So I want to do a better job of that, because I really want to just sit and praise God for every little thing, you know, like, my gosh, he does so much stuff that we don't even pay attention to. And like this month, I saw a shooting star for the first time. For the very first time in my life, I saw a shooting star. Like, I am still excited about it. I love looking at the stars. I love, 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 love the stars. I don't know what it is about the stars, but I love the stars. I love looking up and seeing just all of the stars. And I know where the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper are, because I learned about those in Latin. It's a story with that. And I can pick out half of Orion's belt a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I just love looking up at the sky. And some, I think about Abraham, when God told him to count the stars. Like, if you could count the stars, and that's how many, you know, like, can you, and can you imagine, like, they didn't have any lights like we do. We don't even get to see the fullness of what's up there because of all of the distractions down here. Oh, that's a whole, that's a whole thing. So anyway, I love looking at the stars, and I saw a shooting star. Like, things like that, I want to write down so I don't forget. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just thank you, Lord, for letting me see a shooting star. Like, that's not a normal occurrence. That doesn't happen all the time. But I got to see it, and it was just so cool. And it was literally like, if you blinked, you would have missed it. And I'll never forget that. Like, at 38 years old, I saw a shooting star. When I turned 34, my 34th birthday, I walked on the beach. It was freezing cold. It was January. But that's when I found my first sand dollar. First time finding a sand dollar on the beach. And I specifically asked God to let me find a sand dollar. And I found a sand dollar. Like, never found a sand dollar on the beach. As many times I've gone to the beach before, never found a sand dollar. But I found one today. Like, it, you know, like, just, it's little things like that that we would take for granted or wouldn't think of anything about, that I really feel like those are the biggest miracles to me. And I enjoy those things. I enjoy the little thing. It's the little things, like, and it shows me that God cares so much for us that even the little things matter to him. The little things that matter to us matter to him too. And it's just a reminder of how he's such a good, good father. Like, he cares about every aspect of our lives. Well, today is the last podcast episode for 2024. I keep saying that because it's like, we got here. Like, we're already at it. Like, this is it. This is the last Sunday of 2024. And it's crazy. You just don't think about it. Time goes by so fast. But what I want to say today, I didn't even realize I had this written in my phone. I don't even know where I know the Holy Spirit gave it to me, but we're going to go to the book of Ruth real quick. Because this is where it's coming from, is the book of Ruth. And speaking about God makes all things new, he's doing a new thing, and forget the former things. When we're talking about Ruth, a lot of people just get stuck on the fact of Ruth and Boaz. It's a beautiful love story. Don't get me wrong. It is. It's a beautiful love story. But it's a lot of stuff in Ruth. Let's look at the fact that Ruth is a Moabite. She's a Moabitess, excuse me. From the land of Moab. I knew how, like, I could explain Moab, but I can't remember all of it right now. But I have read in the Bible how Moab came into being and stuff. But basically, the rule was, what God put in place is that he did not want the children of Israel marrying outside of the children of Israel. Like, he wanted everybody to stay in-house. So he's like, don't marry these women. Don't let your sons marry these women who worship other guys. Don't let your daughters marry these men who worship other guys. Like, keep everybody in-house. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't let them do that. Well, of course, they did not listen. So it's you got Moab, Ruth and her sister-in-law, Orpah, which I believe that's where Oprah's name is. I believe her name originally is Orpah, but she changes to Oprah. Anyway, side note. But she and her sister-in-law are both Moabites. Naomi and her husband Elimelech. Y'all, I'm trying. Elimelech. Naomi's husband Elimelech moved he and his wife and their two sons to Moab. There was a famine in Bethlehem. And a certain man in Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Now, when I looked at the commentary said, which was a good point. Commentary was like, okay, there was a famine, but it didn't say it was so extreme that they needed to move, because they were the only ones mentioned that left. Everybody else stayed. So obviously it wasn't as bad as, you know, and we also don't see where it says God told him to go. It just says he went. So it's kind of like you went and lived among people. And I want to say Moab, that was like a tribe of people that God really did not care for. And so you went and lived among them people, like, you, so you out of obedience. You're in disobedience at this point, because no, God did not send you there. Okay. So that's one. Two, you allowed your sons to marry women from this country and you already knew what God said. So you in disobedience again. Okay. Now, Elimelech died. Doesn't say what he died from. It just says he died. So you have Naomi and her two sons. This is when they went ahead and got married. They're still in Moab, so they went ahead and married women in Moab. And one was Orpah, the other one was Ruth. And they stayed there about 10 years. Then her two sons, both of them died. So now you have three widows. First, you had Naomi was still straight because she had her sons to take care of her. And then they got married. So she was straight. You know, she had family. But then her two sons died. Both, you know, the breadwinners in the home. So now it's her and the two daughter-in-law. Like, they're all widows. So Naomi in verse 6 arose with her daughters-in-law. And she said she's going to leave and go back. To Bethlehem, Judah, because she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited the people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi told these women, she said, look, y'all are still young. Y'all need to go back. Get married again, like, just remarry and live y'all lives. I'm old. I ain't got nothing for you. Even if I was pregnant right now, what, you gonna wait around for the baby to be born and then get older for you to marry him? Like, that's crazy. No. So Orpah left. Orpah was like, all right, peace out. Naomi stayed. Well, not Naomi. Ruth stayed with Naomi. She clung to Naomi, okay? So I just wanted to give you the background on that. But here's what I wanted to say. What people overlook the most when it comes to the book of Ruth is that in order for Ruth to get to Boaz, there had to be a death. A lot of times, I heard it best said, and it was in a secular song. It's like a catchy tune. Anyway, I think it was Semisonic who sung it. But anyway, in the song it says, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. So I'm going to say it again slower. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. At some point, the end where you are was the beginning of something new. We're at the end of a year. At some point, this was a brand new year for all of us. But now we're at the end and we're getting ready to go into a new beginning, 2025. We can't go into 2025 until we step out of 2024. I mean, logistically, we have no choice. I mean, we can't control time. But you understand what I'm saying. A lot of times we hold ourselves up. Not that God hasn't moved and that. No, we hold ourselves up because we're still holding on to the past and we don't know how to let go. You have to let go in order to walk into the new thing. You can't cling to the old thing and walk forward in the new. You got to let it go. You either going to let the old thing go and walk into the new, or you're never going to go into the new thing because you're holding on to the old. It's one or the other. You can't do both. You cannot do both. There had to be a death. There had to be death. It had to be something that had to die. And sometimes sometimes it comes by physical, sometimes it comes spiritual, sometimes it looks like it's dead. Sometimes it has to look like it's dead in order for you to walk away from it. Because if it's still alive, I'll tell you this. I have a really bad problem with overthinking things. And that comes from trauma, from what I understand. Well, instead of just walking away from stuff, I'm like, wait a minute. Now, did we try all the options? Because if you really think, I will analyze a situation till ain't no more analyzation left. Like, it's almost like when you trying to get the last bit of juice out of chicken bone. Like, you won't. I'm going to get all of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It gets on my nerves. Okay. It gets on my nerves. Cause it's like, why can't I just let this go? Like, it's nothing else there. There's nothing else there. There's nothing left of this situation. Why do I keep trying? Because it's like, I want to have control of it. You can't, you gotta let it go. Elsa, let me tell you something. Elsa preached the whole sermon in Frozen. She said, let it go. Let it go. We're getting ready to go into a new year. What are things that you need to let go of in order for you to step into the new? What are the things that you need to let go of to step into the new? You need to let go of unforgiveness. Let me tell you something. Yesterday, I was in a room with somebody who still has yet to pay me for building a website. This person, when I tell you, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to tell you right now. Like, when I walked into the room, I didn't even know the person was in there until I, like, was talking to somebody and turned my head. And I'm like, oh. And what was bad was that I'm sitting on the front row. This person ends up sitting in front of me. And I'm like, they were on a panel or something. So, it's like, the person ends up sitting in front of me. And I had to, like, they were in my direct line of sight. And I'm like, great. And I literally felt like if you act stupid, if you say something, like if you do anything, you're going to mess yourself up. You are in a room full of people. Like, you don't want to do that. And to be honest, I really didn't. And when I got home, I prayed for that person. I prayed for that person. I prayed for their business. I prayed that the Lord, you know, increase their business stuff. Because it's like, you know what? It's over. And if, and I tell you this, if the Lord wanted me to be recompensed in that way, it would have happened. He saw what happened. He knows what went on. And to be honest, the Lord could be getting ready to do something that's 10 times greater than what that person could have ever paid me. And I felt like, you either gonna get this, what this person owed you, or you gonna get what I have for you. And I'm like, I want what you have for me. If that means just let's just take that as an L. That was a learning lesson. That was a teachable moment. Take that as an L and keep on moving. Yeah, I know you need the money. You do need money. But guess what? I want what God has for me. And what God has for me is so much greater than what that person owes me. But you got to be willing to let that go. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be willing to let it go. Are you still holding on to unforgiveness from 5 years ago? Let that go. Let it go. So, because something has to die. And let's be completely honest. Let's be completely honest. If you're still holding on to unforgiveness, it's your ego that won't let it go. It's your pride that won't let it go. See, that has to die. In order to forgive, you got to kill your pride. In order to forgive, your pride has to die. See, in order to move on, something has to die. If we want to be used by the Lord, something has to die. That's why the Bible says that we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, a living sacrifice. That is not anything that's going to lay still. That's something that's going to constantly be trying to move and jump off the altar. Okay? It's a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. That, y'all, let's just be honest. You're not still holding on to the unforgiveness because of what the person did. Now, the person could have done something really horrible. They could have done something awful. But it's your pride and your ego that won't let that go. Because if you did something, you want people to forgive you immediately, right? Okay, well, I ain't doing what they did. It doesn't matter. Forgiveness is forgiveness. You didn't have to do that horrible, awful thing that they did. You still sin. And God forgave you. You asked him to forgive you. And he forgave you. He doesn't remember your sin anymore. But why you still holding their sin over their head? Yeah, I got dealt with. I'm so serious. I got dealt with. There has to be a sacrifice. Naomi was used by the Lord to get Ruth the Boaz. Naomi was attached to the foreign country she was in because of her husband and her sons. In order to get her to move into her purpose, the connection had to be severed. Ouch. No, God did not kill her sons. We don't, and the thing is, we don't like to see death as a part of God's plan because we associate death with being like, it's horrible, it's bad, that's the enemy. Not necessarily so. And I'm very careful with how I say this because we don't like death. We don't like that. Nobody likes it. That's an eternal separation from our loved ones, from people we care about. And we've all experienced it. And the thing is, I know from experience, you pray for your loved one to get better. If it's a health condition, you pray for them to get better and then they die. You pray for healing and it's like, God, why didn't you heal him? He did. He healed him through death. I'm sorry. Like, God loves your loved one more than you could ever love him. He loves them more. So much more. And he did not want his son or daughter suffering in that way. And sometimes he does heal them in a way that we like. which allows them to stay longer with us. But sometimes he uses death to heal them, ultimately heal them. And we don't like it. We don't like it. I mean, I don't know why Naomi's sons died. I don't know why her husband died. Maybe they were sick. I don't know. Maybe an accident occurred. I don't know. All I know is they died. But sometimes a death can be something the enemy does, that the enemy tries to kill the promise. I mean, look at in the book of Exodus at the beginning, when Pharaoh sent out a decree to kill all of the males born from the children of Israel, kill all the male Hebrew babies, kill them all. As soon as they're born, throw them in the river. That was from the enemy. That wasn't God. That was the enemy's plan, because he was trying to kill a promise, because he knew a deliverer was coming. This situation, the enemy was after this lineage, because from this lineage came the ultimate deliverer, Jesus Christ. So the enemy figured, if I kill all of these men in this family, then there can't be anybody else. Well, here's the thing. We had Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And from Boaz and Ruth's union came Obed. And from Obed came Jesse. And from Jesse came David. And we get all the way to Jesus from there. So what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. Because God is going to get the good out of any situation, in every situation. So what the enemy didn't realize is that by killing Naomi's husband, he killed her husband and her two sons. She had no attachments to Moab. So she goes back to Bethlehem, Judah. What he wasn't counting on was that Ruth was going to cling to her. But he probably was like, I ain't worried about that. They don't have any more men in that family. Actually, they did. They had Boaz. They had Boaz. And I think they had another one. I think it was a cousin. Other than Boaz and the cousin, they kind of had a meeting about it. And Boaz eventually came out on top and won. I don't want to say won. It wasn't a competition. But like, they had a meeting and it was decided that Boaz should marry Ruth. So we don't like to see death as a part of God's plan. And we also, like I said, we have to remember that we have an adversary. We have an adversary who attacks us, and sometimes tragic things happen because he's trying to kill a promise. He's trying to kill a promise. I think about, I keep telling my personal stuff, but I mean, I don't have nothing else to go by, but I think about my ovary last year, and and it was like, oh my gosh, like that could be seen as, it was tragic for me, being older in life and not a single suitor in sight, and no kids. And then you lose an ovary out of the blue, but there was a tumor in the ovary. I didn't know it was a tumor in the ovary until later on. And I think they did that to keep me from getting like hysterical, but it was basically like maybe a week or two before my surgery, before I found out there was a tumor in there. So then it was kind of like, oh yeah, this thing does need to go. But when we look at the reality of it, it was basically getting ready to rupture. And if it would have ruptured, I could have died like instantly, because it was so huge. The tumor was so huge. And it had stretched my ovary to capacity. So I was like a walking, ticking time bomb and didn't even know it. So God, in his infinite mercy, kept me and kept my body so that they would have an opportunity to remove the tumor. And don't know where the tumor came from, because I always go to the doctor. I'm going to go to the doctor. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go to the doctor. Don't know where that tumor came from. Just boom. They said I could have been born with that. And then just at a certain time, it just grew. So God is going to get the glory out of that, though. He is. He's going to get glory out of it. We don't like to see bankruptcy as a part of God's plan, but it can be. He can use a failed marriage. He's going to get the good out of anything, even if the situation is not good. He's going to get the good out of it. The enemy's plan could have been to keep anyone from that family from going back to Bethlehem. We don't know. But what we do know is that he's not omniscient. The enemy is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-seeing. He doesn't know everything. But he must have known enough to know that someone from that family was going to be in a line that leads to the Savior, Jesus Christ. So he tried to kill the line off. He killed all of the males. Notice it's always an attack on the men. There's always going to be an attack on the men because the men carry the seed of promise. The men, it's when the men are in place, that is such a huge threat to the kingdom of hell. That is a huge threat to the kingdom of hell when the men are in place. So what the enemy tries to do is attack the men and get them out of line, get them out of place. And if you're married, a lot of times the enemy will try to attack your children, your wife. He'll go through all the others to get you out of place, men. So that is something to pay attention to. This is like a spiritual attack right here. Like, he literally wiped out that family of men. Like, he wiped them out. It was only Naomi left in the immediate family, aside from the daughter-in-laws. Like, it was only Naomi left. But like I said, he didn't count on Boaz. He didn't see him. He didn't see Ruth. He didn't see that by killing every male in her family, it would make Naomi's determination to return to Bethlehem increase greatly. Naomi was like, I gotta go back home. I gotta go back home. That urge for her to get back home was more than likely from God. Get back home. Naomi didn't care how she got back home, but she got back home. If her sons would have stayed, still been alive, she wouldn't have gone back to home. She wouldn't have went back to Bethlehem. She would have stayed there. Sometimes the connection has to be severed in order for us to move. Because we won't do it. We won't do it. If we have time, let me tell you something. It's easier for you to leave with nothing than to be connected to everything. Like, if you have, you know how hard it is for people to move. You know how hard it is for people to move to another city when they have a bunch of family where they are. It's very hard because it's like you're going into a foreign land. You don't know where, like, what? That's hard. But if you are moving from a place where you don't have any connections, no ties, nobody knows who you are, to a place, you know, to a new place, it's easier for you to just pack up and leave. You don't have any connections. It's something about a connection that keeps us sometimes from walking into our purpose. That's why I believe in Isaiah 43, God says, behold, don't worry about it. He's like, forget all that. Forget all that. Forget the former things. I'm doing something new. Those ties and those connections, don't worry about that. I remember when it was time for me to go to college, I didn't want to go to Armstrong. Armstrong was in Savannah. I don't even want to talk about it right now because I'm still mad about the whole situation. Another college took over my college and I don't like that. But anyway, Armstrong is in Savannah. And I remember I was homesick. I was homesick for about 2 weeks, maybe. I was calling home every day. And I would call home. And the reason why I was so homesick is because, you know, I was the big fish in a little pond here. Like, I literally went to the college across the street from my high school where my mom worked, and a good bit of my classmates from high school, we all went to the college here. It was a community college at the time. And I got really actively involved in student government. I was doing all of this stuff. I was on the billboards. I was like on the course catalog. You know, everybody knew who I was. Like, it was great. It was so much better than high school. So anyway, when it was time for me to go to Armstrong, I'm like, now I'm the small fish in the big pond. I don't know anybody. I'm scared. I'm like, I don't know these people. I want to be home. I call home every day. I will call home sometimes, and they were having like a concert on campus. They had bands and stuff. And my mom would pass the phone around to people, and I would talk to them. Like, hey, what y'all doing? Almost like the scene off of Ferris Bueller where Ferris calls and everybody in the school is on the payphone talking to him. Hey, it's Ferris on the phone. You want to talk to him? Sure. It's Stephanie on the phone. You want to talk to her? Sure. Like, that's how it was. And but eventually, I stopped being homesick. I met new people. I hung out with new people. I got to know different people. I got to know and do different things that I wouldn't have the opportunity to do while I was here. Sometimes we allow what we're used to hold us back from doing something new. And God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to box ourselves in or box him in and what he's going to do in our lives. So I said all of this to say, sometimes if you look back over 2024, sometimes you've lost connection with some people. I know I have. And I'm grateful for it, because you got to realize, like, some people are only here for, they're only in your life. Like, we're all on a journey, and we meet people at different points of our journey to becoming who we're supposed to become. And once you really grasp that, it helps you to release people more. Like, I really grasped that this year. Like, I met this person on my journey to becoming who I'm becoming. And I'm grateful because this person helped me to get started with all of these things. So I'm grateful for that. But that time is over between me and this person. And that may have been the only reason why that person came into my life, to be honest. I mean, who knows? This person I met further along, and we, you know, it just met that person for that person. Maybe I was just supposed to tell them about Jesus and keep it moving. And the difficult part is that hindsight is 2020. We live life forward and understand it backwards. A lot of times we don't realize who's supposed to be in a life for a lifetime and who's only there temporary. Like, they may literally only be there to be used by the Lord to give us a message. And sometimes we don't realize that until we try to make this person who's a temporary person, we try to make them a permanent person. Then we get hurt because they're there past their time. When something's expired, it's going to stink. When something's expired, it's expired. You can't make something expire brand new. You can't. The only one who can do that is the Lord. So with that being said, even when you look at Naomi's relationship with her daughters-in-law, Orpah was only there temporary. She was a temporary person. She served her purpose in Naomi's life up until that point. And it's crazy because it's like they got to this point on the journey going back to Bethlehem, and Naomi just turned around and said, okay, y'all got to go back. She knew She knew somebody was getting ready to leave. She's like, but y'all can't come. She's like, no. Somebody got to get off at this stop. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the bus. Somebody get off. Both of y'all can get off if you want to, but somebody got to get off. She knew that. And I think we have to become better at knowing when it's time to let people off at a stop. There are designations. There were times during this year, you knew it was time for somebody to leave, but you kept them on that bus. Why? Because we put these connections. We got to stop connecting like that to so many people. But the only way we know how to limit the connection. I mean, think about it. Like at my church, we have several different Wi-Fi connections. We have a public, we have a secure line, we have an extra secure line, we have an extra, extra secure line. And the reason for these is because the public, you get a signal enough to like open your Bible and to browse to use your Bible. But that first secure line, that's what we use for whatever. But that top-notch secure line is what we use for streaming. But each one of these Wi-Fi lines that we have has a different level of strength and power. Whoo! The public one doesn't have a lot of strength and power. It's just to use for like your Bible scrolling. But the top one, that's where most of the power goes to. See, we got to know when we connect to people how much power we got to get. Oh, Jesus. We got to know how much power they deserve from us. That helps us not to let people drain us. We know where we're putting most of our effort into. Naomi knew, okay, somebody's got to get off at this stop. I don't know which one, but somebody's got to get off at this stop. So she said, okay, y'all need to go back. Now, they pleaded with her, and that's the thing. Some people are going to try and stay with you, but when you hold to your guns, as they say, when you hold to your guns, when you hold to your boundaries, the people who are not meant to be there, they're going to fall off. And that's what Orpah did. Orpah went ahead and turned around and went back home. And Ruth clung to Naomi to the point where Naomi couldn't even say anything else. She was just like, all right, she coming. Okay. All right, we're going to see. And that's what we need to do in 2025. We need to be more aware of what we're giving our power to, what we're giving most of our connection to. Maybe you need to switch out the Wi-Fi. You need to, you know, like, okay, I can't put you on this one. You need to put that one. You need to drop down a level. We need to start doing it. We need to make sure we're doing that. That way it keeps us from draining ourselves. We need to be ready to move when God tells us to move. When he says he's doing a new thing in our lives, we need to be waiting in expectation for that. We need to be waiting in expectation for that. We need to be ready to go when he says, all right, there it is. Walk into it. We don't need to wonder about, well, this happened like that. And the last time God took, don't worry about how God moved the last time. He's doing something new in front of you right now. Can't you see how he's unfolding things, how he's doing things? I'm seeing stuff he's doing in my life now. It's a little foggy still, but I can see some things are coming together. And I'm like, okay. And I'm praying like, Lord, prepare me to like for whatever it is I need to see with this or whatever it is I need to do with that, because I don't want to miss it. We need to get more focused, more diligent with how God is moving in our lives and not just rely on how he moved in the past. So my prayer for you in 2025 is that you're more cognizant of what God is doing in your life, and that you're more aware. You make yourself more aware of his presence in your life so you don't miss his move, because we can miss his move. We can miss his move. We can. And sometimes if we miss it, it doesn't mean that he's going to, I mean, he could bring it around again, but how long would that be? So that's my prayer for y'all. I hope that 2025 is good for you. I know there are going to be a lot of different things happening. I pray that you cling to the cross. You cling to the word of God even more than what you do now. I pray for your safety and your health. Pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. And that you be in good health. I pray that for you and your family. I pray that y'all stay safe. I pray that y'all stay faithful. Stay faithful to the word of God. These times that we're going into are like, they'll be like nothing we've ever seen before. Caught myself the other day, like, man, if I, you know, Facebook memories, you know, and just reading my posts from like 2019, when we get ready to go into 2020, and it's like, we didn't even know what we're going into. We had no clue what we were heading into. And every year around this time, I get a little hesitant, like, oh my gosh, what is this next year gonna, like, what is this next year gonna be about? But we're not to be afraid, not to be dismayed. For the Lord our God is with us. Amen. All right, y'all. Talk to y'all, Lord willing, in 2025. Y'all have a great week and Happy New Year. Love you. Bye.